When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Shannon Sharp, tell me this. In one of the most anticipated moves in recent history, the Fever selected Caitlin, as you just saw, number one overall in last night's WNBA draft. Clark's new jersey almost sold out immediately. Shannon, who could challenge Caitlin most for Rookie of the Year?
I like the young lady that's on your screen, Rekia Jackson. She can get buckets in a multitude of ways. A lot of general managers really like her scoring prowess. And plus the fact she's the only young lady that had a costume change from what she wore on the orange carpet into what she walked in when she got on stage. So I love her because I love the way she can get baskets. She can shoot the three. She can post up, get you inside. So I'm going to say her, other than Caitlin Clark, has the best chance to win Rookie of the Year.
Absolutely. All right, now to the men's game. The Lakers won their season finale Sunday, but suffered a potential blow in the process when center Anthony Davis left the game with a back spasm. So the Lakers secured the number 8 seed in the West with the win to set up a rematch with 7-seeded Pelicans in a play-in game tonight in New Orleans. Davis said after the game that he's optimistic that the injury will not sideline him. Meanwhile, Steph and the Warriors, they're trying to will their way to the playoffs after an up-and-down year. They will have to go through rival Sacramento in the play-in tonight. Here's Draymond with a hot take on the play-in tournament. Listen to this, guys.
It's the best thing ever created. When you look at the play-in and what it's done for basketball, it's the best thing ever created. Like, I don't know who came up with it. I know Bron said they need to be fired. If they were fired when Bron said that, they need to get their job back because the play-in is insane. Like, since the NBA has added the play-in, it's taken the last month and a half of the season to a totally different level.
I couldn't agree more. But Stephen A., America wants to know what you think. What's your take on what Draymond just said there?
I think he's absolutely right.
Correct.
I love the play-in tournament. I love what it's done for the regular season, how it's elevated, you know, the importance of it, and it's really, really prioritized that last month, month and a half of the season. Because you got to remember, there's a drop-off once the Super Bowl goes off the air.
Correct.
And so you're talking about February, and then you get through All-Star Weekend, and bottom line is All-Star Weekend, I believe, has hurt the game. I think that it's been used as an opportunity for us to see the level of nonchalance that the players themselves have put forth for All-Star Weekend. It's not a priority at all, and we've seen the quality of play dissipate. I mean, thank God for the three-point shooting contest, because if it were not for that, All-Star Weekend would be an absolute joke. It's really, really bad, and they've got to do something about it. And so when you got the Super Bowl, and then that happens, the month of February is essentially a wash. Then you get to March and April, and the play-in status really, really matters. And that elevates in your mind's eye the importance of each and every single game. You see a level of urgency being adopted by the athletes, and as a result, you say, okay, this is what we were waiting for. And so that's a beautiful thing. I think the play-in tournament has been great for the league. Great.
Most time, professional athletes are resistant to change. You know what they said? In 1979, the NBA added something. It was the three-point line. And everybody said, man, it's a novelty, because they had an ABA. And nobody liked it. Guess what happens? They love the three-point line now. Everybody runs behind the three-point line, Wendy, and jacks up shot. And I remember the same thing with the play-in tournament. Nobody liked it. Now it's been, as Draymond said, it's been one of the best things the NBA has added in a very long time. We see it with baseball, that play-in, and then all of a sudden. So it's good. Like I said, athletes are very resistant to change because we've been doing things a certain way for an extended period of time. They said the same, man, why we need a football? Why you need a 17? Why you need an extra playoff team? 7. Look at it now. So it's been great. And think about what you got. You've had LeBron. This is the second or third time that LeBron has been in the play-in tournament. This is the second time that Steph Curry's been in the play-in tournament. I don't think Commissioner Silver, when he instituted this, he was thinking those guys were going to be in it, but he couldn't ask for a better situation because you got two pantheons in the play-in tournament, and all eyes are going to be watching tonight because the Lakers play the Pelicans and the Warriors play the Kings. So it's been great addition. It's been a great addition.
Well, Stephen A., I read your book, which I believe was called Straight Shooter, and in it you talk about the importance of business always being on the front of your mind. And
yes.
At the end of the day, this is a great business move by the NBA because six games were added, two tonight, two tomorrow, and two later this week. Six games were added that people care about, that are really important, that fire people up, that also wipe away meaningless games at the end of the season because teams keep the pedal down. It's a home run across the board, and the NBA loved the play-in tournament so much, they created more games for the in-season tournament. And if they could figure out how to do a preseason tournament, that's next on the agenda.
Yeah.
I'm kidding, but I'm just saying.
Wendy, before I go somewhere else, speaking of Stephen A.'s book, I also read it, but one thing I just want to point out, too, for people at home, if they don't like to read it because we did a book talk, Stephen A. did an audible, and
that's
it's his voice.
That's what I listened to.
And it's so good because hearing it through Stephen A.'s voice, normally I would say just read it and get the hard copy. That's also a great option as well. All right, Wendy, let me ask you this. If the Lakers and Warriors both don't get out of the play-in, do you think it's a failed season for both?
I don't. And it's not because those teams are poor. It's because of how strong the league is. The Warriors won 46 games this year. The Lakers won 47, and frankly, they actually won 48 because they don't include the play-in tournament final. Well, I'm going to include it. I say they won 48 games this year. I say that the rest of the league is just really, really strong, that in other seasons, the Lakers wouldn't be in eighth. They'd be in fourth. There were plenty of years, especially if they're in the Eastern Conference. If they're in the Eastern Conference, they'd be off until this weekend with 48 wins. You go back and look a few years ago, look at these standings when the Warriors, you know, won their 73 games. Yeah, the Warriors were great, but the rest of the league wasn't as strong. They dominated because it wasn't as strong. The league is much stronger now. Steph and LeBron are older now. They're not able to influence their teams and carry their teams like they were. This is a sign of the times. It's a sign of the strength of the league, particularly the Western Conference. And if the Lakers, the best that they can do is to lose in the first round to the Nuggets after winning 47, I'm going to say 48 games, maybe even 49 if they win tonight, then so be it. That's where they are. That's who they are as a team. Same with the Warriors. Yes, they had his aspirations. They're just not, if they're just not good enough, they're not good enough. They didn't have a terrible season. They had a good season. Is it a great season? Probably not. But it was a good season.
Either one of us can't read very well. Is it a failed season if the Lakers or Warriors miss the playoffs, which means they lose in the play-in?
I don't think it's a failed season because I think they've had good seasons.
What, Wendy? Stephen A., one time, let me do stay off the weed, Wendy.
You got to pay attention to the teams in front of them, guys. You're not giving credit to these other teams. You're not
giving credit, Wendy. Two things can be true. The league could have gotten better, and it'd still be a disappointment that the Lakers and the Golden State Warriors don't miss the playoffs.
Absolutely a disappointment. For the entire league. And talking about business, it would be terrible for league business if those teams are out.
Well, listen, I'm going beyond business. I'm simply saying this, Wendy. You know what? Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving, we know what they could do. We know what Jokic could do and Jamal Murray. We've learned what Shai Gilgeous-Alexander can do. We know that Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, and Devin Booker are on the same squad in Phoenix. We know that De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis are on the same squad in Sacramento. We've known for a long time. I mean, we covered the league, okay? But it still didn't stop us from having expectations for the Lakers, who were in the Western Conference Finals last year. Particularly when we saw and we imagined, we said if Anthony Davis is healthy enough and he plays, well, imagine what they would be. The man plays 76 games.
Yes.
Okay? He's all NBA first team as far as I'm concerned. He's played in an elite level. I can't say enough about the job that Anthony Davis has done this year. LeBron James, all right, he's not my GOAT, but damn it, I understand why he's a lot of people's GOAT, including Shannon. Look at this man in his 21st season. You look at the man at 31 years of age. You look at what he's doing on a basketball court. He's nothing short of phenomenal. And when you look at that, and then you see that D'Angelo Russell is no longer comatose, nor is there an APB out for him because he has showed up and he has been balling. When you see the way the Lakers have elevated their level of play, when you see all of those things that have transpired, there is no way that you would look at that, even with the parity that exists within the Western Conference, and say that the Lakers shouldn't make the playoffs. They shouldn't be one of eight teams in the postseason.
Stephen A.,
for
what
them
you're
to
describing,
be eight teams, to be on the outside looking in at another eight teams playing in the postseason with the greatness of a Steph Curry, with the greatness of a LeBron James, that is a failed season for those franchises.
What you just described, the Lakers are actually better than they were last year.
Yes.
They're four or five games better than they were last year.
Okay.
And they're still in eighth.
It doesn't matter.
Why is that?
Because
the standard is not the record. The standard is to be
one of the top 18.
Well, they're going to win one of these two games. The Lakers are going to get in.
All right. I'm just saying, if they don't, it would be a failure.
Yes, Stephen A. and I are just answering the question.
If the Lakers don't make the playoffs, you're disrespecting the rest of the Western Conference.
And how?
Because you're implying that if those teams don't make it, that they failed. When really these other teams,
you're damn right they failed.
Yes,
you're damn right they did.
In other seasons, if this was 6-7 years ago. The Lakers and Warriors.
Let me ask you a question, Wendy.
We should take a poll on this.
We should take this to the streets. Mr. Hoops Collective, let me ask you this question, Wendy. So let's say, for example, you on your podcast or you on a radio show, dare I say, and you taking live calls and you talking to the American people or the basketball universe, right? Are you going to go on the air and you're going to be talking to people and you trying to tell me all of those folks are going to be like, well, you know, Lakers played really hard. And, I mean, they really had a good season. It's just that it was eight teams that were better. It was nine teams that would have been better. But they really did not have a bad season.
Well, the Lakers fans always think they've got the best team. I'm just saying,
are you telling me that people are going to look at the season as anything less than a failure if you didn't make the playoffs?
You to go watch the interview LeBron gave after game 82 the other day. When he said, how many games did I play this year? And they told him, they said 71. 72 if you count the playing, which I think you should count. He was like, damn, that's pretty good. 39 years old with chronic issues in his foot, dealing with other issues throughout his career. He was able to put together 72 games. They won 47
of them. I know you didn't just bring that up because you know if you ask that same LeBron the question, if you missed the playoffs, is it a failure for the season? You know he would say yes. You know he would say yes.
Yes.
I think LeBron's eyes are wide open. I think he'll try to do the best. He believes he can win every game, but I think he understands the Lakers don't have one of the best teams. He believes he and AD can come together.
We're talking about one of eight, Wendy.
So, in other words, the Lakers are not one of the best eight teams in the Western Conference.
Well, they're eighth. They've proven to be eighth over 82 games. So we'll see. They got a great chance to win one of these next two, and they'll make it, and then they'll make a fighting chance at it. I don't think there's much difference, honestly, between Team 2 and Team 10. It's that close. And if you go out in the play-in tournament, or you go out in the third in the conference finals, I'm not sure there's that much of a difference between your two teams.
Stephen,
but one team you'll say is a failure, and one team you'll say is a good season. And I'm just here to tell you, it ain't going to really be that big of a difference.
Stephen A., do you feel like that's a fair statement? There's not that big of a difference between Team 2 and Team 10? Because that kind of validates Wendy's point.
To me, both things can be true. Wendy's point can be valid in terms of the level of parity that exists within the NBA, especially through seeds 2 through 8, through 10, through the Western Conference. But that still does not mean that if the Lakers, with LeBron James and Anthony Davis playing at the level that they played at, that if the Lakers miss the playoffs, the season is not a failure. It does not mean that the Golden State Warriors, you got Pajitza that's going to be first team all rookie, as far as I'm concerned. You look at some of the way, you look at the greatness of a Steph Curry. You look at some of the pieces, the elevation of Kuminga along with Pajinski. You've seen Klay Thompson have his moment. You've seen the effect that Draymond Green in the lineup has had on the squad. To look at all of that stuff and to say, and you miss the playoffs, you're not one of the 18
teams
playing.
If you lose to a better team, are you a failure?
Excuse
me. If you lose to a better team,
no, 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 no. And that's where you're wrong. And here's the reason why, Wendy, because you had 82 games to make sure you could avoid being one of seed 7 through 10. So the point that I'm making is you're not making the playoffs.
And AD played 76,
you're not making the playoffs. If you don't make the playoffs. If you don't make the playoff, hold on, wait a minute. But 1 through 6 ensures a first round playoff series. And I'm saying if you didn't ensure that, if you don't get yourself into a first round series, that is a failure.
They weren't good enough, and
if you don't win the championship, you're just not good enough.
Did LeBron have a good year?
No, I'm just asking one question. So anybody that doesn't win the championships, you're not good enough.
Well, did you lose a championship because you choked in a game on
it
your home court?
Matter. If you're good
did
enough,
you
it doesn't
record?
Matter. One game doesn't define whether one game anything
you,
can happen in one game.
If you lose to a better team, then you lost to a better team.
Quaku, can we make a poll for this? We need to make a poll.
Wendy, think about their record. They have a winning record against the Pelicans. They have a winning record against the Clippers. They have a winning record against OKC. They do. But one game. So if they lose to the Pelicans, that means you're saying they're not good enough. But they've beaten the Pelicans, what, 3 out of 4 times or 2 out of 3 times? All I'm saying is the Lakers with Anthony Davis and LeBron James not making the playoffs at all is an epic disappointment.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. When you're on a business trip, you know what goes completely off the rails? Your workout routine. Especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups, sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or you just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up, power your buys, your tries the right way, or de-stress with a little cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live. We are just 9 days till the NFL draft, and it's time to bring back our First Take draft blitz. Today's topic, pass catchers. According to Mel Kiper's mock draft 4.0, quarterbacks are expected to go at the top, but there are star wide receivers as well, led by Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, and tight end Brock Bowers may also be a top 10 pick. Look who's in the house. Listen, Stephen A., the magenta suit is something special. We know you went GQ clean, Shannon, but I mean, Lewis Riddick's got the three-piece with the frames, and he's got the red bottoms.
Can you put Stephen A., give him his little, focus single camera that he wants.
Oh, watching his
so I can get a good look at him there, you know, all right.
What do you think? You want to break it down?
No. What color is that? What
magenta.
Is it? Magenta.
Yeah.
You had on all white the other day, right?
It's pretty smooth. It's pretty smooth. If I should answer myself, I mean, damn, you know. You know, sometimes you got to jump back and hit yourself. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's just like
in
that.
In case you didn't know, Lewis, Stephen A., you can watch him on ABC today. Brick is returning to General Hospital.
Did you do that scene that you had to do?
I can't reveal. You know, you got to watch the episode.
You taking somebody out in this one? You taking somebody out?
No, I'm not taking anybody out right now. I mean, they had to show the softer side, brick the love interest.
Oh. He got love interest.
I mean, you actually play a character called Brick. Are you kidding me? Brick.
Well, what a time to be alive. And no, actually, Brick. Stephen A's taking out Shannon for dinner tonight.
I heard about that.
Yeah.
Shannon, so you're going to run the bill up, aren't you?
The paparazzi are going to be out in full force.
Yeah.
Y'all supposed to be my brothers, man. I mean, it's really bad. You know, I can't afford it, man. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you gotta watch my wallet.
I can't afford it. Is that what he said?
I'm just saying, man, this is expensive.
Did he just say, I can afford it?
It's about here.
I can't believe that just came out of your mouth.
Did he just say, I can afford it?
I'm ordering dinner based on what I think he's going to get.
Okay, got it.
That's how you order dinner. You're based on what you think.
Oh, yeah.
Shannon's got a whole game plan.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Speaking of game plans, the draft, a lot of thought goes into this.
I'll return the favor.
So, coming into this draft process, everybody's really high on, obviously, Marvin Harrison Jr. Mm-hmm. out of Ohio State. Do you think he's the clear-cut best pass catcher, Lou?
I don't think it's clear cut, only because I think in NFL circles right now, it's not clear cut. There are many people who believe that Malik is right there with him. And really, it's going to be subjective. It's going to be all about taste. It's going to be all about what you want.
Yeah.
And look, typically, I remember asking Devontae Adams this question this past year or a year ago. I said, you know, what is a number one receiver to you? Just tell me what that is. He says it's a guy, Shannon, who lines up on the outside, either as the X or the Z, and everyone knows they're going to him. And you still throw it to him, he can still make the catch. He can still win on the outside when he doesn't have all that space that all the slot players have to work with, and he can go up and elevate over people and win. And really, that's what Marvin made his name on at Ohio State. He's really an outside lane guy about 70% of the time, and otherwise, they'll move him around a little bit, but he's really an outside lane guy. And then there's people right now who say Marvin isn't as tough at the catch point as Malik is, isn't as, you know, ferocious in terms of being a competitor at the catch point, which I say that's BS. That's not true. You can throw on the tape and you can see that. But I'll say this about Malik right now. This guy averaged, what, about 17 yards per reception. He was about 50-50 inside and outside. And his run after the catch, is some of the best you will see in football. And right now he averaged for his career about a full yard more than what Marvin averaged after the catch. And I think that's the separator. That's the thing that people right now are just enamored with. They think that Malik Nabers is Ja'Marr Chase Jr. That's what they think he is. That kind of guy. And when you see him up close and personal, I'm telling you now, he is rocked up. He's built like a running back in his lower half and still got a 42-inch vert, still can run 4.38 in the 40, and still has the kind of catch radius that you wouldn't think a guy who is sub 6 foot has. Look, he's the truth. I would still take Marvin first if it was me, but Malik is right there.
I agree with everything you said. I was going to say the exact same thing, so I won't expound on it. But when you look at him, like you said, the way he's built through his lower extremities, it lets you know that he's explosive and he's tremendous run after the catch. So we're not going to always be able to get you the ball down the field. We're going to have to run some bubble screens, some jailbreak screens. We're going to have to get the ball in your hands quick, Luke, and you're going to have to do the rest. And like you said, he can high point. Look, there's a difference in size. So Marvin Harrison Jr. is a little bigger receiver. But I watch Malik Nabers. He can high point the football. He's an explosive player. And he has what they call that dog in him. When he puts the ball in his hands, he almost turns into a running back. He runs with that type of ferocity once he has the ball in his hands. I agree with you. The bloodlines are too great to pass up. I know he's been coached up really well by his dad. And we know those receivers at Ohio State, how they come out and perform well in the NFL. So I would agree with you. I would take Malik I would take Marvin Harrison Jr. first. But to think that this vast discrepancy between the two is just not true.
Well, let me say this, guys. As the novice of the crew, I'll defer to the both of you. But for clarity purposes to our viewers, let me throw this out and then leave this to y'all. So we're talking about guys like Ja'Marr Chase and Odell Beckham Jr., right, that have come out of LSU. And that's just to name a couple. There's been a lot of sensational receivers coming out of
Justin
LSU.
Justin Jefferson, yeah.
That's Justin. Of course, how could I forget him? Justin Jefferson. Nabers finished his career as LSU's all-time leader in reception and receiving yards. Despite those dudes being there, he's widely considered the reason that Jaden Daniels won the Heisman, okay? So we got to get that out the way, right? I'm looking at this right here. 17 catches of 30-plus yards, led the nation. Had 9 100-yard games in college playing in the SEC. Is it just about it? Does it come down to the bloodline? Does it come down to the coaching of Marvin Harrison, the great Marvin Harrison Sr.? Is that what this is? Because based on what everybody's saying, what we're seeing or whatever, you actually could make an argument that Napier should go as the first receiver instead of Harrison Jr. So, Lewis, I'll come to you first and Shannon, take it from Lewis. How can we definitively say, what would be the argument that Marvin Harrison Jr. should definitely be the first receiver taken ahead of Napier?
Yeah, I don't think you can make an argument, Stephen A., that says definitely. Because, again, this is going to come down to really about taste. But I'll say this. Marvin matched his production in 23 as compared to 22 when he had C.J. Stroud with Kyle McCord thrown in the football this year. Think about that. Think about who he had thrown him the ball as opposed to who Malik had thrown the ball. Now, I know you people will say, look, he also had Brian Thomas Jr. out there with him. So they had a lot of weapons that they could pick and choose to throw the football to at LSU. Well, look, Ohio State ain't hurting for wide receivers either. But what I'm saying is, this. Marvin, considering that sometimes it looked like me throwing the football to him out there this year, the fact that he still was able to come up with 14-plus receptions, I mean touchdown receptions, average over 17 yards per reception, and still be that guy when everyone knew they were trying to get him the football, and he had to fight to make some absolutely this ridiculous catches. I would say this. If C.J. Stroud had been there again this year, if he had had comparable quarterback play, he would have been up above 1,600 yards receiving as well. And I saw them both in person. I saw Marvin work out for CJ last year at CJ's pro day. And they were, look, half the people were watching Marvin Harrison work out. They were like, yeah, CJ, that's cool. We know you're going to go one or two in the draft. But do you see this guy? This guy could be the first pick of the draft. That's how good this young man looked out there at 6'3", 210, 215 pounds. He looked like the prototype. He really did.
Shannon, let me jump in here because I want to get your take. Obviously, you've caught some passes in your day.
A few.
Yeah. Do you think Marvin has the highest upside?
Yeah.
Whoo. You know, Lou, we always say this. It's not how high you go, it's where you go.
Yeah.
Who's going to be throwing Marvin Harrison Jr. the ball and who's going to be throwing Malik Nabers the ball? Now, if the draft mock are true, I like Kyler Murray throwing the ball to Marvin Harrison Jr. as opposed to Daniel Jones potentially throwing the ball to Malik Nabers. That's what it comes down to when you now, every once in a while, you get a situation like a D-Hop. And D-Hop, it didn't matter whether he had Case Keenum, whether he had Deshaun Watson, he had Brian Hoyer. It didn't matter who was throwing D-Hop the ball. He was going to be first-team All-Pro. Yeah, I think it's really contingent on where they go and who's throwing them the ball. But I believe it's going to come down to bloodlines, and I believe this is why they're going to take Marvin Harrison Jr. He is the bigger receiver, probably around 3.5-4 inches bigger. But Malik Nabers can high point the football. He's an explosive. It tells me when you have a 42-inch vertical, and you watch the tape and you watch them test, it lets you know, it confirms everything that you saw on everything you saw on tape. He confirmed that at his pro day.
Yeah.
He looked explosive. He played explosive. And I wouldn't have a problem. It's kind of like they took Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud fell to the Houston Texans.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's going to be disappointed if they get Malik Nabers, Lou.
Yeah, look, of course not. And I'm with you. Look, they're both freak shows in their own right. They just look different. They just look different. Quite honestly, look, Malik and Brian Thomas kind of they were the perfect complements to one another. Because, you know, look, Shannon, you know this better than anybody. Building a wide receiver room is kind of like building a basketball team. You want different sizes and shapes. You want different guys who can do different things. And really, I think everybody, ideally, if they were putting together a football team, would want to start with the prototype. They'd want to start with the Devontae Adams-looking wide receiver.
Yeah.
The Justin Jefferson types. The 6'2", 6'3", 210, 215, 4'3", type of guy who lines up at the X first. Then you put him at the Z. Then you go, look, on
move
third down, we're just going to move him around and put him where we need to.
Yeah.
And really, that's Marvin. That's the prototype. But Malik, look, I saw him just warming up before he did his vertical down there at LSU. And I'm telling you, just sitting there bouncing up and down, he was probably doing 38, 37 vertical, just messing around. And you're right. He is. He's humble, but he's also cocky and confident. Look, Brian Kelly told me, this is a young man who – people don't understand where his, you know, what his place is in LSU history, but Stephen A., you already articulated that. this guy is for real. This is a hell of a wide receiver draft. You can't go wrong with some, well, really the top three guys if you throw Rome in there too, Odunze.
Right.
I'm just looking at it from this standpoint, guys. I'm like, as long as there's no discrepancy like there is between C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young, obviously those are quarterbacks. These are wide receivers mm-hmm. that we're talking about. So the mm-hmm. likelihood of that happening is slim to none just based on the position alone. You usually don't see that wide of a discrepancy mm-hmm. when you're hyped as a receiver. It's more risky at the quarterback position. Mm-hmm. I get that. Mm-hmm. But still in all, I think that considering the level of talent that we're talking about here, you certainly don't want to see any kind of drop-off, and I don't think you see it right here.
Right.
Not with
Agreed.
These two brothers.
Yep.
Not at all.
Agree.
Yep.
Absolutely. All right, gentlemen, our First Take Draft Blitz, that continues tomorrow. Don't miss what you need to know about the prospects on the defensive side of the ball. That's Wednesday. Mad Dog will be here. And, of course, you know what they say, defense wins championships, right?
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Breaking news. According to our Adrian Wojnarowski, the Bucks are preparing to be without two-time MVP Giannis Antetokounmpo for the start of their opening round Eastern Conference playoff series against the Pacers, but are hopeful treatment on his left calf strain will allow him to return sometime later in the series. Yesterday, Stephen A. had this to say about Giannis's teammate, Dame Lillard.
If Milwaukee loses, I said, I think you need to consider moving Dame up out of there.
He just got there.
Let me explain. I'm not talking about his game. He's not happy there. It's one of those situations where if you are not happy in a situation, albeit because of outside reasons.
Right.
I'm not talking about his game because I believe in Dame.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm talking about what he has to go through and psychologically how that situation may not be ideal for him.
All right, Tim Legler here with us, and he's just following suit with everyone in their amazing outfits today.
So it's the playoff. Great playoff.
Like, honestly, you guys all look so handsome. So, Legs, I'll start with you. What's your reaction to Stephen A.'s comments there? Interesting.
Here's what I would say about that. Look, if you get an NBA player, I don't care who you are, and you're not, for whatever reason, emotionally invested completely in what you're doing in the place that you are, Stephen A.'s got a great point, because it's never going to turn around. I don't believe. That's not going to change. Now, the thing that the Bucks would have to get to the bottom of is, why are you not happy? Is it strictly because you expected to be in Miami, you wanted to be in Miami, it didn't happen? Is it that you're in Milwaukee and for whatever reason you don't like living in Milwaukee? I don't think it could be Giannis. I don't think it's like you don't jive with his game, you don't like playing. How could you not love playing with Giannis Antetokounmpo as hard as that dude plays and the tone that he sets and as many things as he can help you overcome if you have limitations? He'll make up for all that. So I don't think it's that. Is it Doc? Maybe it was Andrew Griffin first and now it's Doc. Like, why? What is the reason? If it gets to a point where you just know this isn't where he wanted to be, and mentally, he can't get himself to that place. I got news for you. If you have a star player
that is in that space mentally, he will not turn that around. And you can't win that way. You just can't, because you need to be dialed in to where you are and emotionally invested in order to overcome adversity. And you're going to have a lot of different kinds. Yourself, you might go through a stretch in the season where you don't play particularly well. You got to be dialed in, emotionally invested, to get back to that place. Whether your team goes on a losing streak, whether you get to the playoffs and you're down 2-1 in a series and it's an important moment, you've got to be completely invested in where you are to overcome adversity. And I've seen it more so in the NBA than any sport. If you get a star player because they're that important, because every team's got one or two that's trying to contend, they're that important. If they are not there mentally, they won't get there. And you're just going to waste time. You're going to waste time with Giannis in his prime. And you would then start to look at moving on from Damian Lillard. So I agree with Steve Nash. Now, look, I don't talk to Damian Lillard. I don't know his camp. I don't know if there's truth in that. I don't know where the source would come from that know that he's not happy. But if that is known, Stephen A., if that's known, I agree with you, man, because it's not going to turn around. It just doesn't happen that way with NBA players once they get to that place. Something mentally is not where it needs to be to help you max out who you are.
I'm not interrupting anybody's normally scheduled programming, and I'm not breaking news here. It's known that Dame is going through a situation with his wife. He's getting a divorce. He spoke about it, about being lonely, not having his kid, that his day-to-day has been turned upside down. And so he goes from a stable situation, man, married, kids, go home, see the kids, they're all over daddy, daddy, daddy. You're eating, you're reading stories, you're having a great time. Now you're in Milwaukee by yourself, and that time, not only is he alone, he's lonely. He's both of those, because you can be alone and not be lonely. You can be lonely and not be alone. He's both. He's spoken to that. And I can understand and I can empathize with him. And Stephen A., you're absolutely right. And I don't see that situation turning around. So if I'm going to be alone and I'm going to be lonely, let me be a place that I want to be, which is South Beach, which is Miami, which was the destination that he wanted to go to all alone. Now, maybe this was a pit stop. He had to stop in Milwaukee, had a layover in Milwaukee for a year, on his way to Miami. We'll see what Pat Riley and Mickey Arison can do with the Heat. Can they offer a package that would satisfy the Bucks, considering what they gave up to make them in order to get that piece, which is Dame Lillard? But he's spoken openly about his current situation and what's going on in his life, both mentally and emotionally. And I think that's playing a big role into what's going on in Dame Lillard.
Damian Lillard, from what I was told, I don't know whether this is correct, but these are from people close to him. From what I was told, 3 40-point games this year, 8 of the 30-point games that he had, his kids were in town. Do you understand the seriousness of what I just said, ladies and gentlemen?
Mm-hmm.
His family was in town.
Yes.
So his best games, when they were there, as human beings, you know, like you said, I didn't bring it up. I didn't know he said it publicly. Yeah. That's why I'm glad you told mm-hmm. me that, because I didn't throw any specifics out there, because mm-hmm. I ain't talking about nobody's business like that. There's a right. code I'm going to follow. I ain't going to do that. But he said, Shannon just said he spoke about mm-hmm. it publicly. Fine. He's going through a divorce. And the reality is that Damian Lillard is one of the best people I know, one of the realest brothers I know.
Yep.
And we know what a closer he is. And when this brother is on his game, the kind of things that he is capable of. We also know we haven't seen that from him much this year. It's been sporadic and inconsistent. Why? Because his mood has been sporadic and inconsistent. That's why. It's not the fault of the Milwaukee Bucks franchise. It's not the fault of the teammates. It's not about any of those things. It's about the fact that you are being affected by your personal situation. When you combine that with the fact, and I listen, Milwaukee gets sensitive. I had to do some event weeks ago with Giannis and his brother, the Nassus, and I had a beautiful time and stuff like that. I came out there, folks are booing me because they thought I talked about their city bad, which wasn't true. Here's the deal. Milwaukee is a great sports town, great fan base, mm-hmm. the whole bit. Yo, y'all, from a lifestyle standpoint, you're just not Miami. Okay, just right. trust me on this, please. Just trust me on this. When you're in Milwaukee, you're looking to go places like Miami for vacation. You understand? It's just a different life. And so Damian Lillard clearly wanting to go to Miami and that not materializing. All right. Once upon a time, I heard that if he wasn't in Portland, he would have wanted to be in someplace like New York City. Neither is Milwaukee.
And so when you take all of that into consideration, again, he's got to overcome it. He's got to work through it. Mm-hmm. We know that he's a professional. He's getting paid. You got to do the job. We understand that. But he's also a human being. Yes. And when you're going through some of the things that you're going through, if you end up getting bounced out and the situation was that miserable for you on a personal level, you're the Milwaukee Bucks. You've got to take that into consideration moving forward. Consider the asset that he is and ask yourself, at least, you know, with the 48 this year, 58 next year, 61, can you get something of extreme value for him? And if you can, you got to entertain that option.
Yeah, listen, everything you guys are saying are 100% accurate. And here's the thing with that situation personally. And I dealt with this. I had a 5- and a 2-year-old when I went through it. Now, I was fortunate enough that the career that I chose allowed me to live very close to my kids so I could have them every week at my house. His job doesn't afford that. You have to relocate to a different city. You got young children. Very difficult thing emotionally to go through for somebody. In addition to, this isn't necessarily where he wanted to be in the first place. Now, he could probably overcome that part. But the personal part, if it's weighing on him to that extent and there's not a remedy there, there's not something that can help fill that void that he's feeling, all I'm saying is if a player is in that state of mind in the NBA, they are so critical, those star players, because there's only 5 guys on the court and the amount of time they occupy on the court and what you're counting on them to do, if they're not completely free of mind night in, night out, I don't see that situation turning around. You're not going to max out what you thought Giannis and Damian Lillard could look like. And it's something internally for the organization to have to really get into this summer and figure out, is this going to be something that's going to improve in the future for Damian Lillard to be more free of mind and play with more freedom and joy again? Because I think you guys are right. We didn't see a lot of that out of him this year. He did not come close really to the level he was at consistently in Portland, and that's what Milwaukee was expecting.
Yeah, we'll
think about
how
much time as a basketball player you spend alone. You go to shoot around, and then you normally he would go to shoot around. He home, the kids all over. They have it. Ain't that not? He mentioned
Shannon,
he just played video games.
It's such a great point by you. Excellent point.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
All right, welcome back into First Take. Steph Curry has the highest player prop tonight for points at 29.5 when the Warriors visit the Kings. De'Aaron Fox, you can see next, he's got 28.5. LeBron, 26.5 for the Lakers in their game against the Pelicans. Excited. We got games to watch. Stephen A., who do you think is going to ball out most today? Are you going to go Zion, LeBron, Steph, or De'Aaron Fox?
I'm going to go De'Aaron Fox. And the reason I'm going to go to De'Aaron Fox is because there's no Malik Monk. And so there's going to be more called upon him to do. Now, obviously, somebody's got to step up and give him some help. He's lost 8 out of 9 meetings against Steph Curry, who's been doing his thing against him. And I get it. And we know that last time we saw Steph Curry in a situation like this in a postseason, Game 7 against Sacramento, he dropped 50 on the road in Sacramento. But De'Aaron Fox is going to need to be all he is and then some for Sacramento to have a chance to win this game tonight. I think he's going to ball out.
Yeah, it was me taking either Steph Curry or LeBron James, but I'm going to take LeBron playing against the Pels. They're 3-1 against the Pels, and he's averaging 28.6 rebounds and 12 assists. And the games in which they won, they haven't been close, Stephen A. And so we saw him in the play-in tournament. We thought that was an anomaly, and we saw him the other day put on a show, an absolute clinic, where he fed everybody else, and then he started eating late in the ball game. So I'm expecting him to continue to do what he's done all year against the Pels.
Last year in the playoffs, De'Aaron Fox averaged 27-7 against Golden State in that 7-game series. In 3 of the 4 matchups this year, they were 2-1. He was 2-1 in the 3 games he played against him. He averaged 32 on 42%.
Let me get in here just because I want to make sure everyone hears your pick. Shannon, who do you have winning both games tonight? And then Stephen A. Piggott.
I got the Lakers and the Warriors winning.
So do I.
Okay.
Lakers
and the Warriors.
Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Steph dropped 40, though.
I think he is. I think he is. He's going to get 40. But I think De'Aaron Fox is going to drop 40 tonight,
too. Yeah. They need Clay. They need the Clay that shows up at the crib. The one that comes every time he shows up there and drops 27 to 30. They need that guy to show up along with Steph.
Shannon, just because I won't have you tomorrow, what about in the East? What about that Philly-Miami game?
I'm taking Philly. And I'm taking the Bulls.
I'm going with Miami and Chicago.
Okay. Good
Knicks,
stuff.
Miami, first round.
All right, gentlemen. Let's go, Philly. Real. Great. Oh, you know.
Take the Knicks out.
You know I'm all over that.